think I can handle it?
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
Welcome to the Hall of Justice, episode 31. I'm Seth Everett. Victor Dandridge is back. Vantage in-house is his Twitter following. He's got comic book artist. He is the man. This is probably going to be a little bit lighter than the last one. The last one was a very serious subject. This is not going to be nearly as serious, yet the people listening are probably just as passionate. Last week, we talked about Jessica Jones and the impact that that show can have on victims of abuse and victims of rape. I don't think those subjects are going to be reached with our guest today. Victor has been on the podcast before. I met him at many Wizard World conventions. He still is involved with Wizard World. And, of course, we're part of the Con Radio Network, so we're still technically involved with Wizard World as well. But he's a wizard of all. And this is going to be a discussion because if you're dialing in, you know. A couple of episodes ago, we had Zack Snyder on the show. A lot of you found this podcast because of that. I couldn't wait to see the movie and then do a review because I like to do spoiler reviews, meaning I'm not going to hold out when I do a review of a movie. I'm going to give you everything. If you go back in the past episodes, it's exactly how we did Star Wars. When Star Wars came out, we did a pregame show, in essence, where we talked about our thoughts going in, what the impact on the comics community. We did a great Star Wars non-review podcast. Then we spilled all the beans. So what I will say is I already have guests lined up. We have people in mind that are going to rip this movie to shreds. Victor and I cannot rip the movie to shreds because we haven't seen it yet. But nonetheless, we are just as skeptical. Victor, welcome to the Hall of
Thank Justice. Thank you.
How you been, man?
Man, not bad. This year's kicked off very nicely, and I've been a busy boy.
Yes, you have been busy, but Victor, you know, the Hall of Justice has been busy too.
Indeed.
You are entering into a podcast that is getting bigger. I mean, we had over 100,000 downloads for Zack Snyder, and now we have a sponsor.
Oh, snap.
Now, have you heard of Loot Crate?
Oh, of course.
You can get in the normal brick-and-mortar comic book stores. It's the leading geek, gamer, pop culture fan monthly service. It's shipped to 500,000-plus subscribers monthly, and it is growing. My favorite thing, Victor, that I is an Adam West statue, Adam West Batman statue, that you couldn't get at any other store.
That is brilliant.
I mean, they have, it's more than just a box. They get digital content, interactive stuff, games, contests. It's a whole community, and you sign up. And not only that, but they have limited edition crates. For example, they do a Star Wars limited edition
crate. Get out.
They do Call of Duty Black Ops limited edition crate. They do a Firefly cargo crate. I mean, they do this stuff. This is hardcore stuff. There was a Wonder Woman poster that little girls put up in their rooms. BB-8 stuff. It's awesome. And you can get Loot Crate as well. There is a discount, folks, and we have a promo code.
Wait. That's high level stuff right there.
No, you have to sign it up. We have our very own promo code. If you go to lootcrate.com, That's Loot, L-O-O-T. Come on, who doesn't listen to this show and not know what Loot
Truth.
Is? You've all stolen. You know what the Loot is. Loot Crate, so it's LOOTCRATE.com/Hall of Justice. And one word, Hall of Justice. They couldn't put space bars into a promo code. That's fine. For less than $20 a month, you get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. All you have to do is head to lootcrate.com/Hall of Justice and enter the promo code Hall of Justice, and you save $3 on any new subscription. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. And they ship to over 27 countries, and I know you have a lot of friends in a lot of different countries.
Daggone right. Wonder if they ship to any, like, fictional places. What's the fees to ship to Metropolis? Maybe to Gotham.
Hall of Justice has Loot Crate. LootCrate.com/Hall of Justice and enter the promo code Hall of Justice and save $3 on any new subscription. But Batman v Superman is finally here.
Yes.
You and I had a conversation off the air after I spoke with Zack Snyder.
Yes.
And I really was impressed with what he had to say. I have been a very big critic of his movies, or of one of his movies, Man of Steel.
Right.
I loved Watchmen.
Right.
I want this movie to be Watchmen. I don't want this movie to be Man of Steel. And I fear I'm wrong.
So, I mean, obviously, there are people that have seen it. And there are reviews that have come out. I've done my best not to directly read any of them. But the, you know, tone from what I'm hearing in the whole Twitterverse and internet sphere is that they are not overtly positive.
Which is a shame because Twitter has been so kind to everything else that's DC.
Right.
I mean, Twitter has been kinder to Supergirl than I thought they would be.
True.
Twitter has been, I mean, they gush over the Flash, and they still like Arrow. This movie is coming in with all the expectations. Now, let's cut a couple of myths out first. Number one, I don't think my problem will be Ben Affleck.
I don't think
so. I don't have an issue. I love Ben Affleck. I have not seen something with Ben Affleck that I hated.
Okay.
There are movies that he's done that I would have hated that I just didn't see. But
wait.
Still,
like what? What didn't you see?
I didn't see Geely.
Well, I saw Geely.
I saw Jersey Girl.
Okay.
I didn't see. I loved Argo. I own Argo.
Yes.
I own Mallrats.
Okay.
I think of him as, you know, he was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
He was, man. That's legit.
He's Ben Affleck,
right.
You know? I mean, I don't have a problem with him being Batman. I didn't hate Daredevil.
Okay.
I didn't hate that movie. There's worse comic book movies.
I mean, you are being extraordinarily generous right now when you say you didn't hate Daredevil, though. I'm going to have to interject.
No. We can do a Daredevil show anytime you want.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that one.
There's a great podcast out there. Paul Scheer, the comedian, does this great podcast called How Did This Get Made?
Right.
And they just review bad movies.
Okay.
And they did Daredevil. But they did it a couple of years ago. I just found it now. And the funny part about that podcast, it's fantastic. But they didn't know about the Netflix show.
Okay. Okay.
They recorded it right when Marvel got the rights to Daredevil. Back.
Okay.
And they're like, I hope they take it seriously.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Okay. So Ben Affleck's not my issue.
Okay.
My issue is going to be Superman. My criticisms of Man of Steel, I've said them a number of times. I'm on record as saying it. I don't find him likable.
Okay.
There was nothing super about him. I don't get offended that he killed Zod. Spoilers. I'm he did that.
If you guys don't know,
I hated that 3 city blocks were demolished.
Okay,
I thought that was not Supermanish. Like there was nothing Supermanish about him. He was angry. He was bitter. He was a hobo for 45 minutes. I don't understand. There was nothing, and he let his father die. That Superman to me does not. He doesn't look like Superman, and I'm not saying he has to be Christopher Reeve.
Right.
It's not that. That's not what I'm saying. He could be Dan Jurgens' Superman. He could be Tim Daly's Superman. You comic people, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Now,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Gonna tell you.
He could be any of these guys. He could be Superman Unbound. I have no problem with Superman as a character. I didn't like that Superman.
Let me ask you this. Okay, because I did some research, because I was prepping for this. This is sincere. Do you feel like you could be behind an Alan Moore Superman?
I could.
That's exactly what we got in Man of Steel.
I don't agree.
I'm telling. Listen, when was the last time you read For the Man Who Has Everything?
No, I just read it.
Okay.
I just read it because they did it on Supergirl. For the Man Who Has Everything. But here's the difference. Mm-hmm. The Alan Moore Superman saved a cat out of a tree.
He did.
He did. He had a symbol. He was revered.
Right. He absolutely was. Now remember,
he was broody. He was broody. I know what you're saying. You're saying he was broody.
Well, no. I'm not even saying that. I'm actually, like, if you look at the actual story again, like you said, you just read it. I actually just read it this weekend as well. I'll set this argument up. Okay, so we know that in the Fortress of Solitude, Superman has a menagerie of different alien species, right? Some of them might be the last of their kind. Some of them might just be things that he found along the way. But he has them in the Fortress of Solitude. When he fights Mongol, he is literally destroying.
Oh, he's so angry.
Right.
That's
he is so mad. He is destroying their habitats, and some of them actually die. Like, they describe it. Like, Alan describes that.
It's
like,
not apples to apples.
No, you don't think so?
No.
Come on,
no,
a living being is
not
a living being. That's Superman.
No, but he has. See, that's the difference. He had the pedigree. That Superman, that character had the pedigree. You felt for him.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, in that
I didn't get that.
This is what I got.
This
is a version of Superman that should be fully well trained. That in the midst of fighting, even a person like Mongol, he should still be Superman. He's already established as Superman. The one caveat.
That's right.
That I
and
put
that
on
was
there.
In his fortress. And that was in his fortress, and not in the city that's populated like Metropolis.
But what about all the things that he had living in the fortress? I mean, those things.
I'm not. Again, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's not apples to apples.
So you're discounting their aliens. Their aliens.
No, because my issue with Man of Steel goes way deeper than that.
Okay.
Like I said, that's Bruce Wayne's argument.
Right.
Bruce Wayne is mad. If you go by the trailers, Bruce Wayne is mad that Metropolis got destroyed.
Right.
I thought it was very un-Supermanish.
Right.
Okay. My problems were he let his father die. He couldn't figure out a way. He is so dumb. He couldn't figure out a way to save his father and not get caught.
No, that's not. That's not what. Okay. So I'm sure.
This is turning into not a Batman v Superman.
No,
this is a Man of Steel.
It's a lead into.
This podcast is being done in 2016, even though according to Victor, it's 2013.
It's 2013. No, this is a lead into. What I've always argued about Man of Steel is just proof in the pudding of the name itself. That's the whole idea, is that the role of what Superman is something that is earned. It's not intrinsic. So the idea of him not saving his father is proof that at the time, which is based on the conversation that they were just having, that he wasn't ready to be Superman. He wasn't ready to actually stand out there in front of people and say, I can do this. He was trying to talk all big in the car and be like, you know, I don't even have to listen to you. You're not really my dad, blah, 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 blah. But when the proof, like the time came to prove his words, he couldn't do it. He was scared and it stopped him. And it gave him, like, it was the biggest, like, it's essentially a Peter Parker moment where he didn't stop something that he could have, and it had a huge impact on how he was going to go about things for the rest of his life. Like, that's what that moment is. It's that huge critical point where you're like, look, if you're going to be about this, then you have to be about this. There's no hesitance. There's no,
well, that's fair.
You know, there's none of that. That's what I always felt that moment was, you know, if he really felt that he was ready to be Superman, even when Jonathan said, no, don't come, he would have done it anyway. And then he would have had to accept, okay, I'm ready. But he wasn't. He hesitated. Jonathan died. And that's why when at the grave site, when he actually is talking to Lois and he tells her, he's like, I let my father die. And he's essentially saying that I wasn't ready to do this. I thought I was, but I really, 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 really
right.
wasn't.
And then he goes to be a hobo for 45 minutes.
Exactly. Like, he's walking around trying to build up, you know, his readiness. I need to save people. I need to be able to, get over this idea that I'm not actually prepared. And that's what he was actively doing.
I mean, I get it. To me, Man of Steel was more about the military. Man of Steel, to me, was Independence Day.
Okay.
All
right.
That's all it was. It was an alien we like versus an aliens we don't like.
Right.
Superman arrives, and within 10 seconds, there's a Kryptonian. Lois Lane meets him, and within 10 minutes, she's on a spaceship.
Right.
There's just no gravity to the whole thing.
I can definitely get with that.
It just seemed like they forced this down your throat. Never once was he likable. And people say, well, Christopher Reeve saved a cat out of the tree. That's not the point. Make him Superman, then I will love him.
Right.
It's my argument about some of these animated movies, because it's, you know, this new 52 animated movies, mm-hmm. they're the same thing. I don't know these guys.
Right.
I don't care about these guys. Why do I feel their angst?
Right.
And for a movie that's going to have as much angst as this movie seems to have,
not established.
I don't like him.
That's fair. That, I think, is a very honest statement. And it fits part and parcel with what I was saying, that they have not made Superman yet. And that's the biggest issue. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge of this movie, to call it Batman v Superman, where Superman hasn't actually become. We've got the guy, we've got Kal-El, we've got Clark Kent. He's wearing the suit, he's got the cape, but he is not Superman. So how do you put Batman against a character who has not actually been established on screen? That is the biggest challenge. And the biggest thing I think that they could mess up with this one. I agree with
that. And understand, the thing that Zack Snyder said on the podcast that got, you know, all the attention, mm-hmm. was that he didn't change Superman, and that if you're a comics fan, you know that all those things have happened in the comics. I don't dispute any of
right.
that. I have no your analogy of for the man who has everything is making my argument. If I care about that character,
right.
I felt his pain.
Why didn't you feel
the
other guys?
I didn't feel the other guys.
That's fair.
All I kept thinking when he was fighting Zod was, oh my God, there's so much damage.
Okay.
I'm not wondering whether Zod gets thrown into a Phantom Zone, whether he goes to this place, that place, that this thing. I don't care. It didn't matter to me.
You were more concerned about the collateralness because you didn't even really connect with the characters that were in their fights.
Could you take 2 seconds and save some people?
At least recognize that there are people there.
Be Superman. See, this is the thing. Like, everybody's taking a side, you know, Batman v Superman.
Right.
I told you off the air my biggest regret that I didn't ask Zack Snyder. He made a joke that he was just hanging around in his pajamas. And I didn't say, well, what pajamas
are they?
Batman or Superman? That would have been funny. Everybody's getting asked. I love the DC little vignettes where they ask the cast of Arrow and the cast of The Flash and The Big Bang Theory, all the Warner Brothers properties.
Yes.
They're asking them who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman. I am a Superman fan through and through. I have said all along, and no one agrees with this, and this is fine. Batman has the better stories.
Yes.
Superman is the better character.
I agree with that. I can definitely agree with that.
If you can do Superman well, it is a superior story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Alan Moore, for the man who has everything, the reason why I love that you referenced that, I love that they did an homage to it on Supergirl.
Yes.
They didn't copy it.
No. It was just a nice little lean.
I was not
in the path. Yeah, yeah.
I was in tears. And the fight when she wakes up.
Right.
When she gets angry and cries, you felt it. Yeah, that was in the cartoon version of For the Man Who Has Everything,
right.
I thought that was George Newbern, the voice of Superman. I thought he was brilliant.
Oh man, that episode! I actually saw that episode before I had ever read the story. I mean, I knew the story. I mean, everybody knows what that story is. If you don't know what that story is, please go find it and read it. But yeah, that episode was the turning point for me in how I looked at what Justice League Unlimited was going to be. There was such a there was a level of violence that I thought was poetically brutal. It was the moment when Wonder Woman suplexes Mongol, where I was like, "Whoa! Like this is legit fighting. Like this isn't just, you know." I remember the X-Men cartoon back in the 90s. Wolverine would pop his claws and then kick people in the face. So it was a level of censored brutality. This, when she, you know, belly to backs him, I was like, yo, they're fighting. Like, this is not,
Yeah, she was mad.
Yeah, like, you know, and again, the looking at it of, you know, this is a female character versus a male character, and she's going just as hard, you know, yeah, as anybody. Like, this is legit. And then the emotional connection, when he realized, like, when he was telling Van that, I'm sorry, but you're not real. Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Well, that, right, and they equate that, you know, in the Supergirl episode. I just think that if you give me the history, mm-hmm, the thing that made Justice League Unlimited so beloved was that you saw 65 episodes of Superman,
yes,
before he joined the Justice League.
Yes.
So I have seen 10 minutes of Kal-El's life, and now he's facing off with Batman, who's got this expanded history, which I'm fine with.
Right.
That's fine. They wanted to make him towards the end. That's fine. If they're doing an homage to Dark Knight Returns, Batman's not retired for 10 years.
Right.
So it's not really Dark Knight Returns. It's just imagery from Dark Knight Returns.
Right. It's this weird collage of stories that they're kind of sewing together.
And what I've heard in the reviews, what I've heard so far, and I'm not spoiling anything, I'll tell you the two things I learned about the first 6 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I've heard it's visually stunning.
Okay.
I've heard the actors are incredible.
Okay.
The story is weak.
See, that's the part that I am ultimately afraid of. As a writer,
right,
that's my fear.
Right. Because that's why, and I'm going to say something a little outlandish here.
Okay.
But George Clooney was not a bad Batman.
No, he wasn't.
He was in a horrible movie.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Like, I despise anybody that says that George Clooney killed the Batman movie franchise.
No. Joel Schumacher.
Yeah. It was not his choice, especially considering, and I guess to a degree, in my maturity as a consumer, as well as my understanding of what Batman mythos can be pulled from, I now recognize what Schumacher was doing, which is playing more towards the 60s Batman. But the problem,
right,
is that that's not the tone that the previous Batman movies Batman and Returns had set. They were the counterpoint, and then to go back just made it bad. So, I mean, I guess there was a generational gap, if you will, because Schumacher is a fairly bit older than Burton, you know. And so I think, like, overall, it wasn't even that he necessarily ruined the franchise. He just took it back to a place that was familiar to him, but not where the franchise had been initiated, nor familiar to the general public.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If, since they wanted to make Batman an older Batman who's had a history,
mm-hmm,
why couldn't that have been a continuation of Christian Bale?
I think it could have, actually. I mean, we've talked about that before. There was that that internet rumor that said that that's what this
yeah,
was.
Yeah, you remember that?
No,
that Ben Affleck
was Deathstroke. Yes. And I thought that would be brilliant. That would be,
God,
like this glorious fangasm of just nerddom.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
No, that's not to be.
Since refused.
Okay, so then I'll tell you from the 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I've learned. Visually brilliant,
mm-hmm,
acting phenomenal. So I'm going to tie that into directing,
because
mm-hmm, Zack Snyder didn't write Batman v Superman.
Okay.
He, you know, this is all done on Warner Brothers.
Right.
I mean, Warner Brothers is trying to create a universe here. In the first 6 minutes, this is going to piss you off.
Uh-oh. Okay. Bring it on.
Bruce Wayne's parents get killed.
Why? Why do we need to see that?
Again?
Why?
I mean, again?
Yeah. Why do we need to see? Okay.
Again?
Okay. So you're right. That actually does piss me off. Okay. Here's the thing in the broad spectrum of what we should be seeing from Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers, please listen. I mean, yes, it's technically kind of too late, but frickin' listen. You guys have iconic characters. You don't have to redefine or restart them from their beginnings for us to know who they are. People are born into this world with intrinsic knowledge of the death of Krypton. Bruce Wayne's parents dying. Like, you don't have to recap that. You don't have to show it. And because your characters are who they are, you could start with the Justice League without any precursor. Now, Marvel couldn't do that. Marvel Studios could not
do that. No, because they had all B characters.
Exactly. Exactly. There is no one in the Holy Trinity of DC Comics that could be considered B-list. Like, your best B-list.
Your Bs, their Bs are A's in the Marvel world.
Exactly.
Like, Green Lantern and Flash are Iron Man and Thor.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is why I think the Berlanti-verse works. My girlfriend was just talking about that this morning, that's the thing that makes the Berlanti-verse stuff work so well. They are doing what Marvel Studios did, like, on the small screen. They're doing that same thing. They're taking these characters that, while beloved by some, are not intrinsically the fan favorites. Green Arrow is not the guy, or was not the guy, that anybody just getting into comics is like, yeah, Oliver Queen, I know all about... No, not even. You had to be the specific person that was into DC, somehow, for whatever reason, despised Batman because of their similarities and wanted to pick Green Arrow. Like, that's very rare of a thing. Same thing with Flash. You had to specifically not want to love, you know, Superman for his hopefulness and pick Barry Allen. But with the
But you never watch Flash and say, God, I wish they had Superman.
No, you don't, because you don't need him. You literally do not need him.
Roped in, like, even in Flash, Flash has, you know, all these twists and turns, mm-hmm. and all these things, and Flash is just brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Flash is just brilliant. And Legends. I love Legends, and I love the best thing that Rip Hunter says in the pilot of Legends. He selected all those guys because if they all perish,
nobody will care.
No one would miss
them. No one would care. You know what? Okay, so it's funny that you bring that up, because I was thinking about Legends, and I think Legends is too soon. I think they jumped into Legends too soon. I think what they should have done is build a bit more of those characters so that even when he makes that statement, they are beloved to us, but...
I think I know why they couldn't do that.
What do you think? What do you think?
I think Arrow's last year is next year.
Really?
I think they're done.
Okay, we'll see. Okay.
And I think that what they don't have the time. They had to spew this because I think that if CW has still two popular DC shows,
they'll be strong.
They'll be fine with saying goodbye to Arrow. CW renewed everything they had.
Right. Right. I saw
like,
that.
I have this theory, and I have efforted to talk to someone from the Berlanti Kreisberg world. I have the theory that they created Arrow because that was the reality show, or the realistic show that CW would greenlight.
Right.
They couldn't make Flash out of Smallville.
No.
Had to make Arrow out of Smallville.
Right.
But once they got Arrow, they got Flash. Once they got Flash, they didn't want to do Arrow anymore.
I can definitely see that. The tone of Arrow is just entirely too heavy.
It's just trying to make it different from Flash. What they'd love to do is have superpowered stuff.
Yes.
So what they did was they used it as a vehicle to build as many characters. What I'm surprised about is if Legends is renewed, which it looks like it has mm-hmm. been, it's the same mission?
Right. Which is why I think,
how long are they chasing Vandal Savage? Like, how long is this going to take?
That is literally why I think they jumped the shark with that one. What they should have done was had something like a DC showcase or Brave and the Bold, where if they do cancel Arrow, you have this variety style superhero of the week kind of bouncing back and forth, different adventures in the Berlanti established DCU that will allow for us to have that
maybe.
Connection.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
I think that could have been fun. I think that could have been a lot of fun, but.
Well, now, you know, if you're reading the same reviews that I'm reading, mm-hmm. you know, there's no way Grant Gustin was going to be the Flash.
No, he's.
I don't want him to be.
No, Flash. Not this. We deserve this very lighthearted, beautiful Flash that we've gotten by Grant. And I feel like if they had put Grant in this universe, it would have been the most downtrodden, oh, God, it just would have been painful to see his smile in this darkened universe.
Grant Gustin would have gone up to Henry Cavill and said, why were you a hobo for 45 minutes?
Doesn't your mother love you? Like, what's going on? Like, you have a mom. I lost mine. Go home.
Okay.
Go home.
So the opening of the movie, this is the first 5 minutes. I'm not spoiling anything. The first thing you see is Bruce Wayne's parents get killed, and then you see Bruce Wayne's reaction to the end of Man of Steel.
So we're
so in 9 minutes, I am reminded of everything I can.
I was going to say, like, stuff that you don't need, and then stuff that you don't want That's how they kick this off.
I swear, the only thing that's going to make me feel better is if someone gets me a loot crate.
That's a gift. That is a gift.
That would be the only thing. I mean, every month there's a different theme. This theme was Batman v Superman, this month's theme. Some of their past ones are Dark Knight versus Man of Steel, Alien versus Predator, Spock versus Mirror Universe Spock.
Ooh.
Are you kidding?
That's brilliant.
Are you
come on,
kidding?
Come on. That's love.
Harley Quinn versus everyone.
Harley can have me anytime.
Daredevil versus Punisher.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. All you have to do is go to lootcrate.com/Hall of Justice and enter the promo code Hall of Justice. Last night I was with my lovely wife, who is going to see Batman v Superman with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a fan. She's not an intense. She doesn't listen to this podcast. But the idea is she we're just sitting there and she and I just go, ugh.
Oh.
And she goes, what's the matter? I go, boy, these reviews on Twitter are not good. I found a bunch. I just used the hashtag. Just look at the hashtag Batman v Superman and you'll see all the reviews.
Oh,
and I'm
man.
Not talking about Joe Fanboy, Variety, Entertainment Weekly, Hollywood Reporter, like all the reviewers.
So this could be truly objective reviewers here.
You would think. Now, reviews can be what they are. There are certain movies that reviewers love that I didn't like. I didn't hate Fantastic Four.
Right.
I've said that. The reviews killed.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I didn't hate it. It was flawed, but I didn't despise it the way the reviewers
right.
did. The reviewers liked Iron Man 3. I couldn't stand
that movie.
Iron
doesn't
Man.
Exist to me.
Right. That's a worse movie than Daredevil.
I can wholeheartedly agree to that. Yes.
So what I'm saying is that the reviews don't automatically make the movie. Hey, reviewers didn't love Watchmen. I loved Watchmen, and I told Zack Snyder that.
Right.
I loved Watchmen. Watchmen, I think that if Watchmen had been made 5 years later, it would have been a Netflix series.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It would have been amazing. It would have been like 7 or 8 episodes, and it would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And you can follow along. If you get the director's cut of Watchmen, you can follow along with the comic
book. Oh, yeah. And that's
like,
brilliant.
It's scene by scene. Scene by it's exactly that. This is Superman is not that.
No. No. And unfortunately, that's the biggest flaw that I think Warner Brothers has had with this is that since Chris Reeves, they've not known what to do with that scale of superheroics. Batman is easy.
If I correct you, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
I'm sorry, Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve, George Reeves.
Sorry, I do that sometimes. It is singular Reeve for Christopher. No, but they've not known what to do since. You know,
right? They don't know what to do. It goes back, and there's an earlier episode of this podcast with the director of The Death of Superman Lives. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
The Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton Superman.
Right.
I mean, that is just as compelling as any Superman movie. I adored Superman Returns. It's flawed, but I liked it. I wanted to see where it was going. I thought that Superman could have fought not Zod, but Mongol or Darkseid or Doomsday. We haven't even gotten to Doomsday.
Yeah.
The idea is if it's that guy and I have 30 years of history with him, I feel every punch.
I can see that. I can see that.
I said to Jay Oliva, I know I'm promoting a lot of old podcasts, but I'm telling you, folks, these guests are worth it. Jay Oliva, who did storyboarding for Batman v Superman,
right.
A fantastic animation director. We talked about how in his animated movies, every time they introduce a new Batman, I care less and less. Because when it's Kevin Conroy...
That's Batman.
I know him.
Yes.
I know him. I care whether he lives or dies.
True, true.
You know, there have been some great movies, but they don't have the same weight. It's the same. It's the same concept with this. If Brandon Routh was not the problem, he looked like Christopher Reeve. That was awesome.
Right.
If Brandon Routh, who beat out Henry Cavill for that movie,
right.
has a fight like Superman Unbound.
Okay.
Or For the Man Who Has Everything, right. Or something like that. I'm telling you, people would look at, you could create a universe around
it. Now, see, the interesting thing for me was the biggest problem that I had with Superman Returns was the story itself in its setup.
Right.
But from a consumer point of view, I'll call it a marketing point of view, I felt like that was a misstep because they are reaching for a brand of Superman that doesn't exist anymore. Like, they were basing it off of the same Superman that existed back in 78, but the Crisis reboot from 86, 80, or 85, 86 eliminated that Superman. There were things that were intrinsically different, like the Kents, both Kents were still alive. And it didn't translate well to new readership material because you're aiming for something that literally on the page had been wiped out. And I thought that was a huge misstep, which is one of the reasons why I think, yes, they are trying to brand, the Man of Steel Superman into the New 52 universe, which is still a mistake because I don't think that Superman is a good Superman. But, I mean, it's for their longevity plan, I think that's their goal, to make it better.
But that raises the next question. Mm-hmm. What happens if it's not just reviews? What happens if the public doesn't love this movie? Now, for some context here, mm-hmm. Superman Returns made a boatload of money.
Yes.
$500 million.
Yes.
Didn't make $1 billion, made $500 million.
Right.
They didn't scrap that storyline because they didn't have any, they didn't make any money.
Right.
They made their money back on Superman Returns. My point is, they seem to have invested in Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
two Justice League movies,
mm-hmm.
Green Lantern movie, Flash movie,
mm-hmm.
this, that movie. What happens if this movie stutters and people don't love it?
I think we will see the death of the DC Cinematic Universe.
Is there a chance the other ones don't get made?
Yes. I think we'll still get Wonder Woman.
They're off scouting Justice League now.
Yeah, I think we'll still get Wonder Woman because it's too close.
It's shot. It's done.
But I do believe that just like the George Miller Justice League piece, which, I mean, they had sets built for that one and it got scrapped. I think this one will fall the same way. We won't get Justice League. If this movie bombs, we might get
They are in Europe. Doing pre-production on Justice League right now.
Right. But I mean, they did that with George Miller's Justice League as well, Justice League Mortal.
It's a different time.
True. But I mean, like, they even went as far as like costuming stuff. Like, they were actual costume fittings for people. Like, they were there. They were ready. The writer's strike happened and they just couldn't come back from it. I really feel like if...
What about the solo Ben Affleck Batman movie?
The only way that... Well, no, I think that could still happen because they have faith in Batman, especially.
Yeah, but then they're either creating the universe or they're not. Like, if they're gonna go ahead with the Batman movie,
right.
They're going ahead with a Wonder Woman movie. They're gonna do the Justice, dude. They're out there.
No. Because here's the one thing that we don't have though. We don't have a set time frame for when the Batman movies is supposed to take place. If they've already established that this Batman is older, they could presumably do a little digital touch-up on Ben and say that all these things take place before Man of Steel or Batman v Superman.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that would be their caveat, is that, oh, this stuff takes place before all that. So we can still have Batman because we trust
and love Batman. Do you really think we are just picking gloom. It's so funny. Do you really think that this universe is not going to happen?
I really don't, because I want to see the DC universe done correctly on the big screen. I just don't think that they've
done it.
And I want to
love that movie.
I really do. I just don't think that they've done it correctly. I don't. And that's the biggest problem. I think that the way that they've set this up is, in relation to too many things that they should not be trying to be in relation to. It's too much like the New 52, which obviously the books are getting ready to reboot with Rebirth, so that's not a good follow. They're trying to emulate bits and parts of what the Marvel Studios universe has done without recognizing that they don't have to do that because their characters are far more recognizable as a part of pop cultural lexicon. I mean, literally, the death of Superman brought me into comics because the question for me was, how does a character like Superman die? it wasn't that I you know, was so rooted into the character. I hadn't been following the character at all, but I recognized and knew who and what Superman is, to the point where when you say he's going to die, my question is, how do you do that? I want to read how you kill a character like him. That's like killing Ferris Bueller. How do you kill Ferris Bueller? You can't do that. He's too rooted in 80s culture. So if you can come back and be like, oh yeah, this is how we're going to do it, I want to know. So
right, and the reaction was, you know, Deadpool makes all this money out there, and they say, well, now Warner Brothers is going to release a rated R extended version of the Batman v Superman. I'm like,
wrong.
More?
Yeah.
Oh my God, more?
I think that's the biggest misstep possible. That's again them emulating things that they have no business trying to get involved with. Like, none. Should not happen.
It's just amazing. Like, there's two big blockbusters in the next 2 months with heroes fighting heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And the A-list fight heroes are fighting in the first movie, mm-hmm. and the Bs are like Ant-Man's in the second movie.
Right.
And Spider-Man's a bit player.
Right.
I mean, it's not. Marvel's success is overdone, and DC's mistakes are overdone.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Here's what I can say. I hope this movie is great. I hope this movie is great.
I hope it has some redeeming factors.
When are you seeing it?
I will be seeing it tomorrow evening. This is so funny. I'm in a play all this week, and it's a Seven Last Words play. I'm playing Jesus. And I have to try to clean up as quick as possible so I can race to the theater to go see Batman v Superman after playing Jesus. So
yeah, we're recording this on the 23rd. I'm going to see it the 25th.
Okay.
So yeah, but I'm going to wait. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wait at least 10 days to. I'm not going to post a podcast with all the spoilers.
Gotcha.
I give it 10 days because then all the diehards see it already.
Right.
That's what we did with Star Wars.
Okay.
And it was funny because I had. It's so funny how I like. Different perspectives. Like, there were some people on Twitter that loved the movie. There's going to be people that that adore this movie.
Absolutely.
I kind of want to put them in a room and fight.
I mean, that's fair. That is fair, because there are going to be people that are going to, like, literally there are going to be people that this is their Superman movie.
Right, because they loved Man of Steel. There are people that get so offended if you tell them that you don't like Man of Steel. Like, there are people that get ridiculously offended. I will end this on one point.
Yes.
Would you advise somebody, if you own it, if you can, you know, I don't know if it's on Netflix or what, if you're going to see Batman v Superman, would you advise someone to watch Man of Steel beforehand?
Because it seems to be such a pivotal point of reference, yes. Yes, I would.
Have fun with that.
Yeah.
He lets Kevin Costner die.
I mean, listen, he didn't. Yeah, he did. I mean, I can't even. I mean, I have reasons, and I'm not one of those guys. Like, I tell anybody, I can sympathize with Man of Steel. I can even make excuses for it. Like, I can justify parts. But I recognize that by having to justify it is already a statement of a lack of execution. I can definitely recognize that. I didn't hate the movie. The biggest thing that was the problem for me was what I thought it was going to be, it was not. And that's the point that I had to address as a writer. You know, I had my own ideas of it. But
I didn't know. I wouldn't use the word hate. I just know that. I saw it once in the theater. I bought it the first day it came out on Blu-ray. I watched it again. I complain about it, but I saw it.
Okay, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? They have my money. They have my money twice.
Right, right. But see, and that's the thing. Like, for all the things, like, anybody that intrinsically hates it, that's not my problem. It's why you hate it that is my problem. It's always about the why. Because when people are like, well, it's not Superman, and I'm like, you are correct. It's not. And that's one of those things where it's like, now, if you maintain said argument of, but they didn't do this, they didn't do this. No. We've already established that those are things that Superman would do. This is not Superman. He's not there. But that's a hard thing to accept, because you see him in the suit, you see him in the cape, you see him flying around. You want it to be Superman. It's very difficult to accept that he's not Superman yet. And that's the point. That's the only problem that I really have with anybody that is a naysayer about Man of Steel, is because you recognize that it's really because it wasn't what you wanted it to be, not because of what it actually was not. They actually, they say, no, he's not Superman. He never refers to himself as such. The movie title doesn't refer to him as such. So you are 100% correct. But in your correctness, you're mad. And it's because you didn't get what you wanted. But that's something very different. That becomes something a little, I don't want to say spoily or bratty, but that's kind of where it leans to, because it wasn't what you wanted.
Oh my goodness, you're stressing me out with all of this. Did you at least order your loot crate yet?
I really was waiting to get like a discount on it, honestly.
All right, $3 discount. All you have to do is you go to the URL lootcrate.com/Hall of Justice and enter the promo code Hall of Justice. Save $3 on any new subscription. I'm going to confuse people. I could have just said I wanted the promo code to be Justice, but they made it Hall of Justice. One word, save $3 on any new subscription. Go get a loot crate. Hey, Victor, before we wrap,
yes.
How can people find you? What can you promote? You have the floor.
Oh, definitely follow me.
A lot
me.
Of people download
Let's
this
do
thing.
It. Let's do it. On Twitter, @VantageInHouse, follow me. Same thing on Instagram. Definitely like my Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/VantageInHouse. I've got a plethora of books out in the world. You can check those out digitally from Peep Game Comics, comix.com, which is a special highlight for African-American and minority creators. Definitely check out my website, vantageinhouse.blogspot.com. And while I have the floor, I definitely want to give a shout out. Today, the 23rd, is my mother's birthday, so happy birthday, Mom. And tomorrow, the 24th, is my firstborn son, Victor Matthew's birthday. So happy birthday, Matt. Love you guys.
Nice.
Incredibly. So yes, definitely follow my books, read my books, review my books, talk about them all the time. We have a range of different things, all ages friendly, with Wonder Care Presents The Kinder Guardians, which is fantastic. Muppet Babies meets the Justice League. How can you not love that? We've got Teen Friendly with Origins Unknown. The Trouble with Love is a big critical success. And then my bestseller, of course, is the Samaritan series. And our newest baby, Old Crazy and the 40 Ounces of Death, is up for a possible Eisner nomination. So we will see. Oh. Definitely submitted. We'll see if I get the nod on that.
Love
one.
It. So love it. Love it. He's Victor Dandridge. He is as good as they come. This is the Hall of Justice. Remember, the next episode, if you press play, I hope you saw the movie before you do.